This is Africa News Tonight on the Voice of America.
Good evening and welcome to Africa News Tonight from the English to Africa service of the Voice of America, your source for Pan-African news and world developments. I'm Kim Lewis in Washington.
And I'm Yehi Suhib. Coming up on Africa News Tonight,
the UN Children's Fund is urging countries to do more to ensure the safety and well-being of tens of millions of children on the move. UNICEF is issuing its appeal on International Migrants Day.
That's Lisa Schlein reporting. Full details on the story coming up.
Also, South Africa's ruling party has elected a new leader, Cyril Ramaphosa, who will likely be the party's presidential candidate in the next national election. And 5 weeks after Zimbabwe's military took control of the government and eventually forced out former President Robert Mugabe, the troops have returned to their barracks.
We'll have these stories and lots more ahead on Africa News Tonight.
Our top story, South Africa's ruling party has elected a new leader, Cyril Ramaphosa, who will likely be the party's presidential candidate in the next national election. But will Ramaphosa, who was not the outgoing president's pick, be able to overcome the massive challenges ahead of the party? VOA's Anita Powell reports from Johannesburg.
The party's electoral commission announced the results Monday after a tense party conference in Soweto.
Comrade Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma received 2261 votes, and Comrade Cyril Ramaphosa received 2440 votes.
Ramaphosa, a successful businessman and current deputy president, has promised to bring business-friendly policies to South Africa. But that may not be what pushed him over the top in this tight and tense vote to lead the African National Congress Party. His opponent was Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, a former top diplomat and minister, who was also, for 16 years, the wife of the South African president, Jacob Zuma. Zuma is still president. His term as leader of the nation ends in 2019. But Zuma's popularity has sunk lower and lower as he dealt with one corruption scandal after another. Nearly 4,800 ANC delegates participated in the conference in Johannesburg, which was beset by massive delays as the deeply divided party argued behind closed doors about procedural issues. Earlier Monday, a grinning Zuma toured a collection of statues of South African liberation stalwarts, pausing to pay his respects at the bronze images of former President Nelson Mandela and former ANC President Oliver Tambo. He refused to answer journalists' questions but took a few minutes to address the crush of reporters.
I'm happy to say now I'm bowing out, very happy, because I think, from my own point of view, I made my contribution.
Many of Zuma's critics, including many high-profile party members, say his contribution to the ANC has been to destroy its image as a party of liberation and equal opportunity. Funde Sonwabo, a delegate from Gauteng province, said he had voted for Dlamini-Zuma, but was happy to support the winner. He acknowledged that the ruling party, which he has belonged to, he said, since he was 20, has issues. The ANC has lost ground in recent elections, losing control of three major cities to the opposition.
I think we do have problems, and I'm glad that our leadership is admitting that we do have problems. But then we can't continue moaning and analyzing the problems. We've got to work out strategies of how to get out of the situation in which we are.
The party's outgoing treasurer, General Zweli Mkhize, said party leadership is aware of calls for Zuma to step aside as president now that his term as party leader is over.
We took a discussion, that discussion in the past. When it arises, I think the ANC must deal with it at that point. At the moment, that issue hasn't arisen.
But with Ramaphosa's elevation to head of the powerful party, many ANC watchers predict that issue may arise again. Anita Powell, VOA News, Johannesburg.
In Malawi, President Peter Mutharika has declared 20 of the country's 28 districts disaster areas following an invasion by fall army worms. The pests have destroyed the crops of nearly 140,000 farming families since the start of November. Lamek Masina reports from Blantyre.
The government is seeking international help to contain the outbreak, which President Mutharika says is a major threat to the country's food security. Ngeme Kalilan is the spokesperson for President Mutharika.
What comes to mind very quickly are chemicals that are required to help farmers protect their fields from the worms. For you to procure the chemicals, you need finances.
In a statement released Sunday, Kalilani said the government has just procured about 56,000 liters of pesticides, just 1/7 of the amount needed. He said despite the shortage, the government is already distributing pesticides such as cypermethrin to farmers in some affected areas.
But looking at the extent of the damage that has been caused, government has thought it wise to invite other stakeholders to come in and help, because the thinking is that by itself, it will not be able to contain the situation.
The four armyworms are believed to have been transported from their usual habitat in the U.S. state of Florida or the Caribbean. A USAID expert said recently that the caterpillars have spread to 21 African countries and threatened the continent's main food staple, maize. Four armyworms also hit Zimbabwe and Zambia early this year. In Zambia, the worms destroyed over 124,000 hectares of maize in 7 of the country's 8 corn-growing provinces. This forced the government to start using military planes to spray pesticides to highly affected areas. However, agriculture experts warn the worms have become resistant to cypermethrin. Researchers in Malawi are experimenting with other pesticides. Scientists at Vumbwe Agriculture Research Station say that so far, about 5 pesticides have been found to be effective. These include Belt 480SC, Chlorpyrifos 480SC, and Steward. Donald Gajigamba is an entomologist working on the project.
They are eliminating, like in the plots where we have applied these pesticides, found that there are no four armyworms. So it means they are working against this pest.
In the meantime, Minister of Agriculture officials are asking farmers to inform them if they notice strange worms in their fields. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Blanta.
The UN Children's Fund is urging countries to do more to ensure the safety and well-being of tens of millions of children on the move. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva that UNICEF is issuing its appeal on International Migrants Day.
The UN Children's Fund reports some 50 million children worldwide are on the move. It says many young people are moving safely with their families who are voluntarily migrating in search of a better life. However, for millions of others, it says the move is neither voluntary nor safe. For example, UNICEF notes conflict has forced about 28 million children to flee their homes at great risk to their lives. In many cases, it says refugees have to use the services of smugglers and traffickers in hopes of reaching safety. In this regard, UNICEF spokeswoman Sarah Crow says 2017 has been a pretty horrendous year.
We've seen some 400 children, estimated 400 children, who have drowned trying to make their way to Europe. We've seen an estimated 32,000 children who are currently in detention in Libya. Of those, 11,000 are unaccompanied. We've seen children, unaccompanied children, crossing mountain passes in the winter. We've seen them stuck on islands.
Crow says children on the move face deportation, drowning, and detention. She says thousands are abused, exploited, and enslaved during their perilous journeys. But she says it does not have to be this way. She says nations should look for safe and legal pathways for migrants, such as granting humanitarian and school visas. She cites other positive measures that can be taken to protect and care for migrant children. These include the promotion of community-based alternatives to detention, opening schools and health centers to migrant children, and ensuring access to justice and housing without fear of deportation. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The multinational joint task force fighting the Boko Haram insurgency in Cameroon, Chad, and Nigeria says it will hold about 200 former militants until Cameroon can construct a center where they will be socially integrated before returning to their communities. The ex-militants are currently at the barracks of the multinational joint task force in Mora on Cameroon's northern border with Nigeria. Moki Edwin Kenzaka is there and has this report.
Boko Haram, tu auras de mes nouvelles. Boko a touché mes parents sans me demander.
Soldiers of the Mora camp of the multinational joint task force fighting Boko Haram sing what is now their regular song after a successful operation. They have just returned from the border with Nigeria with 12 fighters whom they say handed themselves over to the military. Among them is Sule Bupabga, a 22-year-old Nigerian.
My village is Sandawajiri, Kete, Dekirawa, and Ukwepe.
He says his wish is to return to his village at Sandawajiri near Kerawa in Nigeria, and that he regrets all the killings even though they were forced to carry them out. He says what he did was not good. There are nearly 200 former fighters detained in the camp. Some were arrested during fighting and others handed themselves over to the military. Cameroonian ex-fighter, 26-year-old Guma Wamwa, says he decided to report to the military after he escaped from a Boko Haram training camp in the Nigerian border town of Gamburu, but was barred from entering his village in the Cameroon town of Kolofata. He says he escaped from a Boko Haram camp with a motorcycle he was given to monitor and report to his former superiors each time a suspected group of people or a strange vehicle was seen approaching. Mijiyawa Bakari, governor of Cameroon's far north region, says the government will continue to protect the ex-fighters. He says they have secured land in the border town of Meme, where all former fighters will be assisted in reintegrating to society. He says the ex-fighters have committed to assist the military in bringing back their peers who are still either hiding in the bush because they are afraid of the military or are still under Boko Haram control. 200 other former Boko Haram fighters are taken care of in the Mozogo Local Council by the governments of Cameroon and UN agencies. Their relatives are not ready to accept them in their villages for fear they may once again be infiltrated by the terrorists. The population says some of them may be spies or have been brainwashed with Boko Haram ideology. Moki, Edwin Kinzuka, for VOA News, Mora, Northern Cameroon.
South Sudanese refugees at the Bidi Bidi settlement in Uganda live a hard life, residing in tents and mud huts and surviving on international aid. But on Saturday, the refugees put aside their hardships and held a talent show with songs and plays that touched on the war back home, but that also expressed hope for peace. Halima Afumani attended the show in the Yumbe district of northern Uganda and reports.
Bidi Bidi is the world's largest refugee settlement. According to the United Nations Refugee Agency, it houses more than 300,000 South Sudanese who fled their country's civil war, now entering its fifth year. On Saturday, memories of the war came flowing out, but this time in acts presented at the talent show, ranging from dance, rap, music, and drama acts. The beats came hard and strong in the songs. Instrumentals and dances performed on a makeshift stage that had no cover, exposing performers and the audience alike to the hot sun. The Kejebere Music and Dance Group won the show with a range of dances from Uganda and South Sudan. 15-year-old sisters Maneno Nunas and Vicky Nyoka, dancers in the group, were brought to the Bidi Bidi settlement from Yei by their stepmother, who built a small hut for them and left the girls to fend for themselves. To survive, they sometimes sell food rations to buy other necessities. Maneno explained why they joined the talent show.
The reason that we should avoid thinking of those bad things about our parents and the bad things that they are doing for us. We need to forget home problems. Yeah, that makes us to join dancing.
Yonat Kundane, the Public Information Associate for UNHCR Uganda, says the talent show will be a recurring activity.
Our main objective is to create social cohesion between the different ethnic groups and the host community.
The winning team from the Bidibidi talent show will be mentored by local artists. Afrobeat musician Solomon Sentongo explains the reason he chose to work with the refugee youth.
These people are always feeling left alone. So as an artist, actually a young artist, I'm here to give them hope. So they will not actually be despaired, but they will feel important. And that's why we're here.
Reggae musician Inizu Ronald Peace had a strong message to the warring factions in South Sudan.
Hey, Mr. Soldier Man, what you fighting for? Hey, Mr. President, what have you done for my residents? Why this much greed? I see your eyes full of evil. Can't you see? These guns are gonna kill us today. Can't you see? The one love is gonna heal us. South Sudan, because we are one.
Above all, the show demonstrated that Bidibidi's got talent. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Yumbe, Uganda.
21 past the hour, you were listening to Africa News Tonight on The Voice of America. Zimbabwe's military says it has ended Operation Restore Legacy and troops will return to their barracks. The commander of the Zimbabwe Army General, Philip Valerio Simbanda, said the normalcy has now returned to our country. He says the police are now back in charge of daily law enforcement. The announcement comes 5 weeks after the military took control of the government and eventually forced out former President Robert Mugabe. Simbanda thanked the public for its support of the military and called on citizens to be alert for what he called malcontents and saboteurs. He said that members of the so-called Generation 40 faction of the ruling ZANU-PF party sought to undermine peace from overseas. The army said Operation Restore Legacy targeted corrupt officials close to Mugabe and his wife Grace Mugabe. Once Mugabe resigned, the party accepted his former deputy Emmerson Mnangagwa as the new president.
Critics accuse a new nonprofit organization, the Foundation for a Smoke-Free World, of acting as a smokescreen for Big Tobacco, a charge vigorously denied by the foundation's president. Lisa Schlein reports from Geneva on the controversy swirling around this new venture, which is subsidized by a $1 billion grant from tobacco giant Philip Morris.
The president of the Foundation for a Smoke-Free World, Derek Yak, was one of the architects of the World Health Organization's Framework Convention on Tobacco Control. He says the convention is successful in preventing people from smoking and in slowing the increase of smoking in children. But he says it focuses little attention on trying to get the world's billion smokers to quit the deadly habit.
To actually accelerate a decline in the billion smokers, we needed to have better cessation, harm reduction, and better product regulation. And I think those elements, I don't think, have got the energy that we actually require.
Yak says more than 7 million people globally die prematurely each year from tobacco. He tells VOA the foundation's mission is to wean smokers away from their addiction by using new harm reduction tools such as e-cigarettes and vaping. Philip Morris International plans to contribute about $80 million a year to the foundation over the next 12 years. Yak assures VOA stringent safeguards are in place to insulate his foundation from the influence of the tobacco industry. Philip Morris is a producer of an e-cigarette-type product. Vice President of Communications at the Campaign for Tobacco-Free Kids, Vince Wilmore, tells VOA the alliance between the foundation and Philip Morris has no credibility.
This foundation is really a smokescreen designed to promote Philip Morris's business interest and to undermine real efforts to reduce the death and disease caused by tobacco use around the world. It's hard to take Philip Morris seriously that they want a smoke-free world when they're marketing cigarettes as aggressively as ever and they're fighting real solutions to reduce smoking.
The World Health Organization also calls into question the work of the foundation. It notes that the number of clear conflicts of interest involved with a tobacco company funding a purported health foundation is evident. In a statement, WHO says it will not partner with the foundation and urges governments and the public health community to disassociate themselves as well. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The government of Burundi says a recently launched referendum campaign is aimed at strengthening and advancing the country's laws after more than 2 years of political violence. But some experts say the government wants to use the referendum campaign to legitimize its rule. Mohamed Yusuf reports.
The Burundi government has launched a referendum campaign to change the constitution. The government insists its move is to strengthen current laws and improve others. Agathon Rwasa, Vice President of the National Assembly and a former presidential candidate, says the president wants to stay in power beyond 2020.
Till this very minute, the so-called project of amendment of the constitution has been concealed, and I wonder why. Since constitutional matter is a national one, why should President Nkurunziza hide it till this very moment? But for the time being, it seems that they are in haste. For what purpose, I don't know. All what we can see, it is clear that Nkurunziza is aiming at remaining in office for life.
The government says the draft has about 300 clauses that will be subjected to a referendum in 2018. President Pierre Nkurunziza's deputy spokesman, Alain Domidi, says the controversy surrounding term limits is one of them.
That also has been thought of. Because obviously it was very controversial in 2015 because people interpreted some articles of the constitution differently. This time it's very clear that the term limit cannot be more than two. It means you can only have one term renewed once. Another thing is it's planned to have a term of 7 years, not 5 years like it was in the 2004 constitution.
The 2005 constitution and Arusha peace agreement brought an end to Burundi's long civil war, which claimed the lives of more than 300,000 people. Some critics still question the manner in which Nkurunziza contested and won the 2015 elections. His opponents accuse him of violating the constitution and argue the president was not supposed to run in that election. Attempts to hold talks to end the political crisis have failed several times after the government refused to negotiate with opposition groups they accuse of initiating violence in the country. It is estimated more than 2,000 people have lost their lives and more than 300,000 people have fled the country since 2015. Mustafa Ali, a security and conflict resolution expert, says Nkurunziza wants to use the referendum to legitimize his rule.
If many people vote, and the majority vote that he continues staying, it is legitimate. The problem with that legitimacy is, in knowing of many African countries, is that that legitimacy could as well be bought, because he is going to use the monies that he and his close handlers have looted from the Burundi people to buy their loyalty.
In 2015, the Supreme Court ruled in Nkurunziza's favour so that he could run again. He argued in his first term in 2005 that he was elected by Parliament, not by voters. The government says the Electoral Commission has been given the green light to prepare for the referendum and it will have 6 months to do so. Mohamed Yusuf for VOA News, Nairobi.
And that wraps up this edition of Africa News Tonight. I'm Yehi Suhib in Washington.
And I'm Kim Lewis, and thanks for choosing the Voice of America.
Hello, I am Shaka Sali.
Join me on Straight Talk Africa every Wednesday as we discuss topics of special interest to Africans, including politics, economic development, press freedom, health, social issues, and conflict resolution. Take your pick. Watch on television, log on to the internet, or listen right here on the radio.